fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia. Taranoia with me, Tara Flynn, the person who has the most Taranoia in the world. I'm always messing up. I'm only in Egypt, but sure, we are all Egypts and we're all doing our best. Most of us, I think. That is where we start from on Taranoia anyway. It's my own special brand of fear and insecurity. But sure, you know that if you've been listening. If you haven't been listening, welcome. It's all about Taranoia. And you might be experiencing it too, so let's get through it together. This episode of Taranoia is brought to you by Freeze. Cheese you can freeze. Now, that sounds like all cheese, which you can freeze, if you're so inclined. But Freeze is different because it's freezier. Freeze. Cheese from the freezer. Cold. Sometimes cheese is too warm. Make it freeze. That's Freeze with an S if you're looking for it online. It doesn't exist, but there you go. So that was the commercial for today. This is something I've been wondering. I've been doing the Christmas cleaning. Do you do that? That's something my mother always used to do. It's something I've just inherited. And honestly, Carl thinks I'm mad. But I do all the pulling out of the furniture and dusting in behind it and stuff I might not do all the time. The stuff I don't want to think about. I do that just before Christmas. A spring clean, but a Christmas clean, really. And what's the deal with toasters? What's the deal? You know the little slidey tray that most of the newer ones come with now? So you pull out the slidey tray and it's meant to release all the crumbs. But that's not where all the crumbs are. The crumbs are in the workings. The crumbs are in the little crevices. So you pull out this little tray and it comes out really easily. And it's meant to be that you pull out this tray, empty out the crumbs into the bin, and then obviously with the toaster unplugged, don't do anything dangerous with a plugged-in toaster. We've nearly made it to the end of the year. Stay with me on the being safe front. So unplug your toaster before you detach the tray or anything like that. But there are like two crumbs on this tray. Like two crumbs. And 17 million, I'm not exaggerating, 17 million in the workings of the toaster. So you stand there gently with an unplugged toaster, tapping the crumbs into the sink. And basically a loaf of bread comes out and forms itself back into a loaf of bread in the sink, made out of all these old crumbs. And still, when you put the toaster back down on the surface, more crumbs come out. More and more, forever. And you can keep putting it down and keep wiping beneath it or behind it or tapping it again. And still more crumbs come. It's like one of those mad fairy tales about a cooking pot that won't stop. What's the deal with toasters? I can't get over it. And one thing you can't have on toast, though, is freeze unless you fully defrosted it. That's Freeze with an S. It's cheese you can freeze. We thank them for their fake sponsorship. Thank you for your real sponsorship. Anyone who's come along on Patreon. Thank you so much. My God, you're just incredible. And I really appreciate it. Some people are sponsoring me for €1 for this podcast. And some people maybe five, some people a little bit more. Some people just come along for a month. It's so appreciated because this is pretty much all I'm doing at the moment. There has been some nice work news, but it's not till next year. And either way, it'd be lovely for this podcast to, if it's of value to you monetarily, that's lovely. And if it's not, that's also fine. But if you find yourself coming back more than once, I would just ask you please to give it a rating. Let's keep it in the charts. That would be so lovely. And you can do that by subscribing. You can do it by giving it a star rating. Even better, give it a review. And in recent weeks, I've been giving the challenge of including a word in the review. So the word for this week's reviews, if you'd like to take up the challenge, is purple. Yeah, stick that in the review. I'm not going to even give you examples this time, just purple. Thank you. And thank you to everyone for listening. It is so appreciated. And I love the messages that it's giving people a little bit of a break from the news and all the crap out there, that it's just a bit of fun or that it's soothing even. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm happy if that's how it's making you feel. My Taranoia should at least relieve yours. That's my hope. And I'm very glad you're here. Now, I wanted to address something that's happened this week that was kind of interesting. It was a good thing. And weirdly, it ties in with what I wanted to say this week. Anyway, I've been planning this episode for weeks. It's kind of the core of Taranoia. It's about being on a high horse. It's never good to be on a high horse. I don't have a high horse, even a low pony, because if you have a high horse, you will fall off. Anytime I've ever felt I've been up there feeling sorted, I've always fallen off. And it's never a good thing to feel like you know everything. It's always best to be humble and go, I don't know. They are the three most powerful words in the English language. I've finally decided this is what they are. I don't know. Never be afraid to say, I don't know. Never be afraid to ask, but never think you're sorted or that there isn't something more that you can learn. And I always wanted to do this podcast about high horses because I often get accused of being on a high horse, but I couldn't be. Like, if I'm on a high horse, we're underneath the ground. This is some kind of horse that can, a subterranean horse. Because I know that I don't know anything. It's why I start off with hello, fellow Egypts, every single week on this podcast. I'm the biggest Egypt. I don't know anything. And especially on Twitter, where there was no tone at all, people would often say I was being arrogant or shoving my opinion down their throats. Now, how you can shove your opinion down anyone's throat when it's an opt-in situation? They could always block or mute or just feck off. Please feck off, honestly. That's me on a high horse, I bet. Now, you see, that could be interpreted as me. I'm just saying, you're welcome to feck off, if you like. But I was never on a high horse. All I was ever doing, I wasn't preaching, I was beseeching. I was asking for compassion for people who'd had crisis pregnancies, let's say during a peel, or as an ally, I was asking for compassion for LGBT people during the marriage equality referendum. Other than that, I was doing jokes. And I'm very happy to highlight things about things I've learned a bit more about as I've gone along through experience or through living them. And being married to Carl, we've been together 10 years this week, which is unreal. It's absolutely unreal. I sent him a picture of a sponge. That's how romantic we are. Saying, thanks, love, but I found this one under the stairs. It's on Instagram. You can check Tara Flynn, IRL. I sent him a picture of a sponge on our anniversary or roundabouts the anniversary of our meeting. And I said, no need to pick one of these up after work. I found this one under the stairs. Oh, I hope we never lose that magic. But there's something very, what's the word? It's not unique. It's not unique, but there's a particular set of circumstances when you are in a relationship with someone who's not of the same background as you, not from the same social group or race group or whatever it is as you, in that you come in for a lot of criticism from both communities. It basically, there's a cohort in both communities who look down on your union. It sounds like very high language. But so you're always aware, I'm certainly always aware that there are lots of people who don't believe that we should be together and that I have to start from there anyway. So no high horse there. I always feel like I'm letting someone down. Whether they're right or wrong, that's the kind of stuff that we get. Sometimes we get outright abuse. We get lots of weird looks, especially if we're outside of big urban areas. And it's a particular way of going through the world. Now, I don't experience racism. I absolutely don't. So when I speak about race, I really try to check myself. I really try to check myself. And I did Blind Boys podcast there recently. It was great fun and it was such a treat to be on. It was always a really good conversation. And these were difficult conversations we were having. But because of the recent presidential elections in Ireland, a certain candidate's name came up and we found ourselves speaking about the way travellers are treated, or we spoke about race in the context of the marriage that I am in. And I said the words, and something I really try to exercise on this podcast, but the maxim of nothing about us without us. So I don't want to discuss anything on this show unless the person directly affected by it is there with me and I can ask them about it, because I don't know. So we became very aware, myself and Blind Boy, that at a certain point we were talking about travellers, we were talking about race, and we were two white settled people. So we parked it, basically said, right, we'll move on. We started talking about sillier stuff and stuff that I could speak about with firsthand experience, because I haven't experienced racism and I never will. I might get oddness because of my relationship, but it's just that it's a different thing. That's a different thing. So I can't really speak knowledgeably about race. I can tell you what I'm learning about my privilege. And that's why I made the video Racist B&B. Long time ago now, 2013. Racist B&B is about, it's trying to speak to other white people, really, about the fact that you may not intend harm, but you can often be harmful without meaning it. Now, that doesn't mean the harm isn't real, but it might mean that you don't see it. So it's best to always listen to the people directly affected and say, I don't know. So this week I had been asked, it's probably a few weeks ago by the time this airs, but I was asked in September to do a TEDx thing for Trinity College. And I was asked at the time in September, I was asked to talk about comedy and how it intersected with my work on repeal and vice versa. I thought, okay, that is something I can talk about. I can talk about comedy. I can talk about repeal. Later, they came back to me and said, actually, the panel's going to be about feminism. And at that stage, I said, oh, lads, I am a feminist, but I don't know how I don't have the vocabulary to really unpack things. I don't know all the theory. I would feel like a bit of a fraud in that setting discussing feminism when also, honestly, and I will do a whole podcast about this, I feel like a bit of a fraud sometimes because I came so late to really standing up and identifying as a feminist, really standing up and using my voice to highlight inequality on that front. So I wanted to step back at that stage and say, I am a total feminist. I don't know if I could set myself up as an expert in it. I don't want to be a fraud. They said, no, honestly, it'll be through the prism of your repeal stuff. Repeal the Eighth, if you're listening outside of Ireland. Reproductive rights here in Ireland. The North is next. We've got to help out our Northern Irish sisters. But they said you can still be talking about your repeal stuff and comedy and your work. It's about your work and all of that. So I did ask who was on the panel, but I asked who was on the panel. And this is the selfish part. This is where you can always learn a bit more. I asked because I said, I don't want it to be adversarial. I'm not up for debating my own life. I don't think anyone else should have to either, especially when it comes to rights, but I don't want to be up against someone who's an anti-choice person denigrating or shaming me. So I asked on those terms, and then I just checked whether the date was still free and I forgot about it. Honestly, I forgot about it. On the day, the organisers rang me and said, there's been a backlash on Twitter and social media because the panel isn't diverse enough. And I said, well, okay, that's true. That's absolutely true. And the organisers agreed. It had just been a blind spot. And it's a learning moment, teachable moment where everyone gets to open their eyes a bit more. Basically, they ended up cancelling it. I'm not going to judge whether that's the right or wrong thing to do. I think it's great to step back and reassess and take on board that they had used the word diverse. We're five middle class white women. Was not a diverse panel. And I can totally see why people would get really annoyed about that. That is completely justified. So I'm glad that everyone's pulling back and going to say, okay, if we're going to use the word diverse, then it has to be true diversity. People with disability need to be consulted on their visibility. People of colour, people of different sexualities, it's endless. Diversity, there's always someone you can ask, but you can't just have one brand of person and call it diverse. Now, here's the other thing, because I really believe in nothing about us without us. If it had been pitched to me as a diverse panel, I'd have said something at that stage. If it had been pitched to me as a discussion about feminism and diversity, I would have declined. And I know this for a fact because I've been declining stuff all year since I made Racist B&B. I went on initially when it came out. I used to go on to TV shows or whatever to talk about the experience. My experience is my learning curve to lead to making that video to say to white people, listen, you may not intend harm, but even though you phrase something politely, it might be very damaging. And initially I went on to discuss the process of making that. But now when people ring me and say, can you come on and talk about race? I say, no, you need to go and ask someone who's in the situation that you're discussing. So that's how you always know if someone's serious about the discussion. If they have a discussion, like a panel discussion on the radio, and there's no one there who's directly affected, and not only that, but they have a contrarian on who's totally unaffected, but assuming a derogatory stance, then you know they're not really serious. That's not debate. That's just a circus, sideshow. So what I'd ask you to do, especially if you're a white person living in Ireland especially, start to see those things on the radio where it's all white people or all fully able-bodied people or whatever it is, cisgendered people discussing something that affects someone who isn't, who doesn't have all that privilege. Then don't take them seriously. Go, that's a bit mad. That's a bit mad, says you. And the other thing from the Blind Boy podcast, which I really enjoyed doing, but I always feel out of my comfort zone and out of my lane. You know, they say stay in your lane. When I say people of colour will tell you this, or people of colour know this, or people of colour, what I'm not saying is I'm speaking for. I want to say I'm standing with, and I'm just encouraging you to go out and hear from people of colour yourself. Hear from people in situations and backgrounds that are not the same as yours, yourself. If you're only following people that look and sound like you on social media or reading their work or going to their movies, you're going to think that that's the default in the world, that that's a so-called norm. And it's not. It's also really boring. So get out there, listen to people who look and sound different to you, and yeah, budge up in the bed. If you are in a position where, this is what I'm really learning now. I knew it before, but I was never in a position. I worked hard for the platform that I have. I've not been in the position before where I've been invited to so many things or asked to speak. That's why I don't want to speak about things I feel are out of my lane. That's why I'll say yes to a repeal thing, but not to a race thing, not to even to a feminism thing, unless it's through a prism of comedy, because that's my lane, is the comedy and hopefully highlighting things about equality. Because the other thing is, it's really tricky. If you have a platform, you should use it not just to further yourself. If you have the privilege of a platform, you need to be highlighting people who don't have a platform. And if you have the chance, this is what I'll do from now on. If I have the chance to be on a panel and everyone looks and sounds the same, I might suggest that I give my space up to someone else. I don't feel comfortable on those panels anyway, even when I am in my lane, because I get plenty of chance to speak. I can speak here, I can speak directly to you, and then you know it's my opinion, that I might be wrong sometimes and that I'll fess up to it if I am. But the main thing not to do is get defensive. If something is highlighted to you that has been hurtful to someone else or has shut someone else out, take it on the chin and go, wow, I didn't mean that. I see it now and I'm going to do better in future. That's all you have to say. And then budge up in the bed. Budge up in the bed. If you start to see all white anything or all cisgendered conversation, just be aware. Just be aware and have the chats. That's the main thing. And don't be put off if someone is angry. Even if they're angry at you, they might be a bit angry at you. You might have hurt them in some way. You might have erased them and you might not have meant to. Yeah, I suppose it is a bit mean. So meaned to is probably correct.
Once upon a time, do you enjoy fairy tales and ancient myths? Or are you someone who just enjoys being told a good story? Well, Fireside is the new Irish storytelling podcast. Every week on Fireside, I take a story from folklore or mythology, retell it, have a chat about the tale itself, and about the craft, culture, and history of storytelling. This isn't a stuffy academic podcast. This is about having the crack and telling a few tales. My name is Kevin C. O'Lehan. I am your host and your Fireside Bard. Wherever you are and wherever you go, you can always join me for a story by the fireside.
People are angry because they're at the end of their tether. Imagine if you never saw yourself in a lineup, you never saw yourself represented, you never heard voices like yours on the radio or telly. That would be, well, we know what that's like as women and as feminists, if I dare to even use the word about myself, because I feel like such a newcomer in a weird way. But be very wary of that lean in kind of white feminism. We're all capable of it, because we all like to be comfortable. So beware of that sort of lean in feminism where it's all about rising up a corporate ladder and really reinforcing patriarchal systems and stepping on other people to get up there. Be really wary of that if you can. But don't then say, oh, feminism is cancer, feminism is toxic. There are lots of things we can do to make it better. But remember that when someone gets angry, it's because they haven't seen themselves or they feel shut out. And this is not the first time. This is probably the straw that's broken the camel's back. So be gentle. Just go, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I see you. Feck's sake, I'm a tick. I'm a big tick and I'll do better in future. It's liberating. It's so liberating to be a thick. We all make mistakes. As you know, I've shared a lot of them with you. I can't share them all with you. It's way too embarrassing. But when you have a platform, it's very tricky. And it's something I'm trying to get right. And I won't always get it right. I might not ever get it right. I'm trying my best to highlight stuff because I feel it's my duty. I'm sure there'll be some people who'll say, stop talking about it. You're a white woman. Stop talking about race. Stop talking about LGBT issues. You're straight. And they're probably right on many levels. And yet at the moment, I think it's up to all of us to highlight who's not being heard, even if that means we have to use our own voices to do it. So it's tricky. It's tricky. It's very tricky. And we may never get it right, but we have to try. But again, this isn't me preaching at you. Shereef, no, I'm not the police. I can't come and stop you saying anything or make you do anything. I am beseeching you to have a thought about your own privilege. And privilege doesn't mean that you're having an easy time. Checking your privilege, it's not this judgment. It's not a judgmental thing where someone's saying, you have it easy, so be nice to everybody. It's not that. It's saying we all have it hard, but there are certain hardships or threats in other people's lives that by virtue of pure luck, you don't have. I have a shit ton of privilege, an absolute shit ton of it. But that doesn't mean things are always easy. It does mean that I have a duty to use it to make sure other people get heard too. So you won't see me on many panels in the future. And the other thing is that I don't have a ton of power. I don't, like somebody on Instagram said, you really should think about getting involved with these diversity riders that they have in Hollywood now. It's like, I don't have a rider anywhere. Maybe I will soon. And God, if I have that kind of clout, the things I would change. But diversity writers are grand if you're Frances McDormand and you're married to a very powerful producer and you're a very powerful actor yourself. You're award winning and you have star power that gets the movie made. Then you can maybe say who's on or off the movie. But if you're a day player, like I've been for the last few years where you might be on a thing, but only for a few days out of 6 weeks, you don't have a say. I can't force panel assemblers to do anything. But what I can do is ask them to have a think about it. It might not get rectified that time. And then I might have to decide maybe it's better I go on than some contrarian and figure that one out. It's all very tricky. I have no answers. As you know, this is not about answers. It's about asking questions. I'm just asking questions. Isn't that the contrarian say? Maybe I'll borrow that line from them for once. So if I highlighted to a panel builder, whatever you'd call an assembler, if I highlight it to them, they may disagree or get defensive the first time, but maybe then they think about it the next time when they're assembling a panel. And honestly, I think it's, I'm thinking about this as we go, but honestly, I think it's kind of cool that the Trinity Gang pulled the thing and said, let's start from scratch. So fair play to everyone who's learning on this and fair play to everyone highlighting it. It's a good thing. And yet again, they're not preaching. They're beseeching. How about that? Can I have a job writing ads? I think that's amazing. So forget being on a high horse. Never feel you've got things figured out. It's much more useful. It's much more crack if you just go, I know nothing. I am a sponge. Just like the picture of the sponge that I sent to Carl. The most romantic sponge ever. Although maybe it's not the most romantic sponge. There used to be those sponges in the 80s, those contraceptive sponges. I put it into the show, not a funny word. I put a list of contraceptives I had used down through the years. I put it in, and Alma, who did the music, Alma Kelleher, oh, she's got a brilliant single out. You should check her out. She's Lux Alma. You've got to go check it out. It's an absolute banger. When we were making Not a Funny Word and Alma was doing the music and I put in sponge in the list of contraceptives, she thought for the entire run that it was a joke. No, it was real. And when you couldn't get contraceptives here in Ireland, unless you were married, you'd ask someone going to England if they'd bring you back some condoms and maybe a sponge or whatever. Yeah, I know. Those were different times. They were different times. So one of the things I wanted to put right by doing this podcast is I'm not on a high horse. I can't be. I mess up way too often. I never know what's right. I'm muddling through and trying my best to be fair. And I think that's all we can do. I mean, we can always do better. And even if you feel like you're doing your best, If someone points something out, that's okay. Don't turn it around on them. High horses are terrible and they're being weaponized. Like, imagine a weaponized high horse. I imagine he'd have laser eyes and kind of a robotic member. That's a weaponized high horse. Very, very tall as well. And wheels. He'd be on wheels, this high horse, going around the place, judging. Try not to judge if you can. But when someone is judging someone else and you say, hey, you're talking about someone's rights and you're talking about someone's ease in getting around this planet in terms of day-to-day living, you're okay, you're safe, but you're advocating for someone not to be as safe as you, then it's not judgmental. It's not a high horse to say, hey, back off my buddy, leave them alone or leave me alone. It's been weaponized now that when you say those things, when you're what they call woke, they've weaponized woke. That's the name of the horse, weaponized woke, the high horse, weaponized woke. Woke, there's nothing wrong with the word woke. Woke kind of came out of the Black Lives Matter movement. And what woke meant is very useful for white people acknowledging their privilege. Woke means that, like the sunken place in Get Out, which is an incredible film if you see it. If you haven't seen it, see it. Woke means that you have become aware of something that your privilege was keeping you from seeing before. You've become aware of an injustice that might not directly affect you, but you now see as really toxic. And you might even stand up and say something about it. I heard a person I think is an absolutely gorgeous person, someone who I consider quite woke, that she's very kind. She doesn't just advocate for herself. And she used woke in a derogatory way, like all those woke guys. And it was like she was in a room full of woke people. And she had just been listening to certain commentators that are using it in a way to say, be sort of anti-identity politics people, you know, who see themselves as the default. It's not useful. Woke is a great word. Now, like, I wouldn't call myself woke. I have far too much to learn. I'm way too privilege blind. There's always going to be another layer or veil that I can peel back and suddenly see a little bit more. I'm blind as anyone else is who was born with all the cozy shit, you know, of whiteness and education, all those things. They're a buffer to seeing stuff that other people have to deal with every day and could tell you about in a heartbeat. So woke is a good thing, but beware of people who self-identify as woke, because that might become a bit of a high horse. But also when people say woke is a bad thing, say, don't be silly. You don't have to be on a high horse to say, don't be mad. That's mad. Stop it. We'll always get things wrong, but we can try to get them right next time. No one's judging you. They're just asking you to see and to listen and to hear. And don't take it from me. Go out and check out people who don't look or sound like me, because I'm a fool anyway, though I'm very happy to be sharing my foolishness with you. I can't wait. Now, next time on Taranoia, we've got a doctor, imagine, Dr. Mary McAuliffe. She's a historian and she is absolutely brilliant. As you know, I'm listening to way more historians now than the news, because the news is not something I find good for my mental health. Obviously, I'll check in on it once a week, or I'm just always aware of who's telling the news, who's reporting it, and what we're not hearing. So because I have no power to do anything about that, I've changed my diet of information, and my diet of information includes more history. And Dr. Mary McAuliffe is incredible on the women who've been written out of history and the things we're compiling now as history. And she's on with me next week. I really hope you enjoy it. We had a great fun chat. There were even zombies in the conversation. So please join us for that. That's next time on Taranoia. I love to plug a Headstuff podcast. Thank you to Headstuff for having me on their network. And thank you to Brian, who produces. Mwah. Love you, Brian. You're fantastic. I must get you a Christmas present. That's my only Christmas present list so far. I want to plug No Encore. They are a fabulous music podcast. Music and fun, I would say, here on the Headstuff Podcast Network. There are so many podcasts to choose from on the Headstuff Podcast Network, you would almost not need to leave. But one recommendation I have for you is Rosemary McCabe's How to Be Sound. It's just great. It gets better and better. She's taking a wee hiatus, but there's loads to catch up on. So please do check her out too. How to Be Sound. That's something I could use. I'd love to be sounder. Listen, do you have any suggestions for me? any suggestions for the Christmas episode, because the one after Dr. McAuliffe will be the Christmas episode. So get those suggestions into me. As silly as you like, I'll wait till the last minute to record that. So it's up to the minute, up till the 19th. Then there'll be a hiatus of 2 weeks. 2 weeks of me not talking at you and forcing my opinions down your throat and forcing you to act on them like a bitch. A woke bitch. Oh, lads, you're so much crack, the lads who speak like that. Thank you for listening. You've been lovely, fellow Egypts. So next week, Dr. McAuliffe, the week after that, pure Christmas silliness. Let's give ourselves a break from chats about the world. And so I'm going to leave you with a Flynnspiring, as usual. Flynnspiring music, please commence. Everyone thinks they're a dick. Only some of you are right. Thanks, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.